Hey there, this is Seth Juarez. We're here at Ignite 2015, and we are sneaking in some dev stuff here. I'm pretty excited about that. Why don't you introduce yourselves?
So I'm Steve Lasker. I'm a program manager in our Visual Studio Tools.
Fantastic, and you?
Dave Carroll, Director of Developer Evangelism at Salesforce.com.
That's awesome. Let's start with you. I heard about this new thing called Connected Services that's in Visual Studio.
Yep.
What is it?
So basically think of it as the modern ad service reference.
Okay.
Right? Ad service reference, you had to type into a text box, a URL. Hopefully it was a technology we supported, and we generated a whole bunch of code for you, and you could kind of go from there, and then where did you go from there?
Right.
Doesn't really work with the modern services.
I see.
Modern services are evolving. They're very different, you know, different OAuth patterns and so forth.
So what's the difference between references, NuGet packages, and now this new thing?
So the service reference, like I said, was a bit older. Everybody had to adhere to a common standard that we came up with.
Mm-hmm.
And not just we came up with, we worked with different people. NuGets, basically, I need a client library because I don't want all that generated code, but I don't get any configuration. You know, talking to Salesforce or Azure, you need to do server-side configuration. You need to do stuff into your project. So think of it as a customized ad service reference that is tailored to each one of the services you want to connect to.
That's interesting. So does it work with all services, or is it some configuration that you have to do with the organizations? How does that work?
Yeah, so this is actually why we engaged with Salesforce, is we were building the stuff for Azure.
Uh-huh.
We had done some work with Lightswitch and realized it was a little too contained, trying to make it a one-size, you know, kind of fits-all thing.
Okay.
So we decided to invert it and said, look, we can't standardize everybody. You know, Salesforce is going to evolve in some pretty unique ways. Dynamic CRM is, SAP is, and everybody
right.
else. So we needed to come up with a way that let them customize those and not required to ship in VS. So like you go to the NuGet gallery and you can get NuGets that people post.
Right.
You can go to the Visual Studio gallery and get connected services and plug in. So we work with Salesforce to build the Salesforce connected service. We have partners like Datalogix, which is building a PDF service.
Interesting.
So you do have to build one for each service.
So
how we get the.
I like the idea of saying we're going to do connected services. Let's test it with Salesforce. So
before we start
talking about how you managed to integrate it, tell us a little bit about what Salesforce does and why it's important.
Okay, well, Salesforce is the biggest SaaS company on the planet at this point. Part of that is our customization, our development platform. And so APIs and being able to integrate with Salesforce has been very key to our success. As a matter of fact, of the 75 billion transactions we do a month, over half of them are through our APIs.
Wow.
And so what we're trying to do with Connected Services, working with Microsoft, is enable .NET developers without having to teach them the entire Force.com
platform. Yeah, it feels like there's a lot. I looked at it one time. There's a lot to look at.
Yeah, and it's a whole different mindset as well.
Right.
And so I just want the developer to do his job, get the data that he needs, and also try to encourage best practices around authentication to our system.
Got it. So this is a really good example of a connected service that's not just like we're connecting to the Fabricom store, right?
Right.
I mean, like,
right.
This is a real thing.
It's a real thing. So Jay Schmelzer is our lead in our GPM in our group, and it's like, I want a real service. I want something that's not the Microsoft way. And the partnership had been brewing, you know, between Salesforce and us at that office level, and let's go make that work. And it was a great challenge because they use REST,
right.
Not OData. It's a variation of OAuth in a healthy way. There was some configuration that we had to do. It was just a little bit different than Azure that it made us realize.
So for example, have you ever connected to any other service, Twitter,
sure.
Facebook?
Absolutely.
Every time you do that, you have to go to their site. You have to create this app thing,
yeah.
right?
Mm-hmm.
That gives you a client ID. It gives you a secret. You set a callback URL, all of that stuff. Every single one of those has a different way to get to that page,
yeah.
a different way to set that up. And so because the connected services are developed by the companies that have the service, then we can guide you through that, provided you have the right APIs,
right.
So that you actually never end up going through that web interface to have to set that up.
And on the Microsoft side, we provide something as simple as add reference, hand it off to people like Salesforce to do the rest. Let's see what it looks like inside of Visual Studio.
Yeah, sure. And to show this off, what I'm going to do is modify this project that we're working on. This was a joint customer of ours, Landesk, and it really represents a mashup of Salesforce and Visual Studio Online Services.
Got it.
So let's jump right into it. We right-click on references and right
between. And there's the new one, right?
Yeah.
Before it was just add service reference and manage NuGet packages. I like this.
Yeah, Steve likes to call that the meat of the sandwich because it's wrapped between the two other technologies.
Yeah, it feels like it's both, right? Because it's custom functionality from Salesforce in a unified API or a unified way of strategy doing it inside of Visual Studio.
Okay. Exactly.
And we add NuGet packages as part of it. So it's,
okay.
So this is these are the connected services that I have to choose from. And we'll see over here on the left is Salesforce.
Nice.
We also indicate that this service is appropriate for this type of project with that little connected cloud.
Cool.
So that you know what to choose. And then I'll go ahead and click configure.
And what and we're gonna, this is where you take over, right?
This is where the Salesforce written part takes over. And what I'm going to do is I'm going to turn Visual Studio into an API client for Salesforce for the metadata API.
That's awesome.
And I'm going to do that by defining a runtime or design time account. And so I'll click next. Now I'm being asked, and this is really the crucial part, what do I want to do for runtime with regards to authentication?
Right
now we have a couple different OAuth flows, username and password for headless integrations. We also have web server flow if you're integrating some web apps that you've built.
Got it.
So we'll continue with the web server flow. At Salesforce, we give you the option of creating a custom branded OAuth page. But this illustrates something very specific to Salesforce. So other service providers might have specificity as well that they want to insulate the developer from having to configure or think about.
I like the idea of also democratizing the ability to create a service. And if it's good, people are going to consume it if you let them through this connected services.
Exactly. We wanted to get people up and started quickly and not have to become an expert in all of the goo just to get to the fun, meaty part of it.
They're
going to go back and learn. We think about it as like a progressive learning style.
Got it.
And here, I mean, Salesforce is a fairly rich, you know, platform, so there's a lot of things to ask questions on. There's other services, I mean, Azure Storage, fairly simple in the connection.
Right.
We can do it a single page grid. So each service can choose the level of customizations they need inside of the connection.
And I like how you said it can go from complex to simple, because looking at Salesforce here, we can see this is pretty complex, this kind of stuff you can access.
Yeah, there's a lot of objects available, and that's what this screen allows you to do. So the next step, now that we've got kind of the service configured, what objects do we want to model to interact with?
Right.
And so, you know, I can pick a couple of different ones. I'll choose case and then maybe contact. And at this point, I can finish up my wizard. And there's stuff going on right now, right? This is the Visual Studio as an API client.
Uh-huh.
It's making calls into Salesforce to create that connected app where I have my consumer key, my secret, the callback URL, and so on.
As well as dropping whatever NuGet packages that might be necessary for any particular service.
Or references, it adds the consumer key and secret to the config file.
Right.
And we've done all of the, we try to do the, what we say is a 90% into your project.
Got it.
That you're, and then even the way we do it, for those, if you remember add service reference, we would generate you know, lots of code in your project. And for Salesforce, it was?
Well, yeah, our WSDL results in 118,000 lines of code.
Wow.
And of which you use maybe 30.
We should charge by the line as developers.
Right, exactly.
Exactly, that's, you know, so.
There would be more Salesforce
developers. You couldn't customize it, yeah.
That's right.
So we like the idea of scaffolding, and that's what we've gotten from customers, is they can now modify it. And in our larger portion of this demo, you'd see would actually go into the model classes and extend them, because they're my files.
I like how also, once you've done the wizard, you sort of guide your users to a page that lets them say, "This now that you're here, here's how you move forward."
Yeah, this is a decision by the Visual Studio team guideline in creating your connected service. The idea is that you don't want to put a bunch of sample code in, code that gets pulled out every time you interact with the wizard.
Right.
Instead, we give them guidelines. We tell them what happened, what changed in their project.
That's awesome.
And a couple of walkthroughs. Well, what I want to do right now is just kind of show you some of the results.
Okay.
So we've got an OAuth redirect handler. This is my favorite piece of this, because this handles all the magic for OAuth.
Yeah.
At this point, you don't care. You might care about where the tokens are stored, but it's all done for you, right?
Right.
We handle that in a best practice kind of way. We also added information into your web config. Oops.
Oh, yeah, you felt like it was moving it. If you double click, it should work.
So,
there you go.
So we added all the OAuth information to the web config. It's easily accessible. We also leave this getting started as an artifact in your project, so you can always get back to it.
Right.
And then, of course, we've modeled up all of these, the contact and the case. Right. So one thing that's interesting about our particular service is we have such rich metadata. Like if you think of a JSON payload, it's just like key value pairs essentially. In this case, even though it's JSON coming back, we have the ability to describe the objects that you've asked for, and we can do things like attribute it with key and display name. Display is really the label that was created when the object or the field was created on the object, whether it's creatable, updatable. Turns out MVC can leverage all these things, so you get your business logic almost for free, at least at the UI layer.
That's absolutely right, and then you get like checking, and it's pretty cool how this works, and I like how it's customized to your service, but still integrated into Visual Studio.
Yeah, and even the things like with MVC, it's like we wanted to plug into this, and when, again, we were kind of doing some of the light switch stuff, we were working with Dynamics CRM. They also have rich metadata. SAP has rich metadata, but it wasn't in some common standard way. So we can go find it, but we need to know. So by doing connected services where we don't need them to adhere to a specific standard,
right.
They write the code, they can go find it, they populate it in the metadata classes, or in the models, and now everything can stitch together very easily.
That's fantastic. So to finish up, where can developers go to learn more about connected services, both on the what's available already and how I can make my service a connected service?
So we have an aka.microsoft/connected-services.
Okay.
And on that, we have links to the SDK, to Salesforce, to Datalogix, who's working on their PDF service. That's kind of our landing page to find out more.
Well, thanks so much for spending some time with us. I know it was kind of ad hoc, but this is really interesting. I'm excited for what developers can do in the future. Thanks for watching, and we will see you next time. Take care.